no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama, brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from Favorite Story. It's Jamie Friel, their episode from March 11th, 1947. After that, it's Suspense and The Man Within, their story from April 27th, 1953.
This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Telling a variety of tales on this series, stories of love and mystery and imagination, and a comedy or two. We thought it was high time we brought you an Irish tale, something from the great storehouse of Celtic legends, a yarn filled with leprechauns and love. So we asked an authority, Academy Award winner Barry Fitzgerald of the Irish Abbey Theatre. Mr. Fitzgerald chose as his favorite story an old folk tale which has been handed down through generations. The story of a lad and a colleen and the little people. We asked Mr. Fitzgerald exactly who the little people were. Fallen angels, he said, who were not good enough to be saved, nor bad enough to be lost. Who took great pleasure in feasting and dancing, but above all, in the lilt of a Gaelic song. And all the old beautiful tunes of Ireland, it is said, are merely the music of the little people, caught up by those who have ears to hear. Barry Fitzgerald's favorite story is called Jamie Friel. And to play Jamie, we've recruited another veteran of Dublin's Abbey Theatre, the young RKO star, Sean McGlory. So sit back, close your eyes, we're off to a land of magic, as we bring you Jamie Friel.
It's meself, Mother. Now sit down there and make your apron big. It's Saturday night and I'm wanting to pour me week's wages into your lap.
Oh, the blessings of God and all the angels on you, Jamie. It's a sad widow woman I'd be if I didn't have you for the fine son you are.
Oh, no, I'll not be listening to compliments, Mother. There you are now.
Oh, and here's a halfpenny for you, lad, for tobacco.
I'm thanking you, Mother.
All the neighbors say me Jamie is the best son that was ever known or heard of.
Oh, do they now? But there are some of our neighbors whose opinion I never heard tell of at all.
What neighbors, lad?
Neighbors who live very close indeed, but whom I've never yet seen. Neighbors you can only see when the moon's bright as gold, like it is this night.
Jamie, boy, no. Put that look out of your two eyes and the thought of it out of your mind.
When I passed the old ruined castle this night, I thought I saw strange lights in the windows of it. And, Mother! Mother, did you hear that now?
Oh, here I am, happy as the good sunshine on St. Martin's Day, and me fine lad starts in hearing sounds in the night.
Mother, come to the door. You can't help but hear that, Mother. It's the music of the little people.
No, no, Jamie.
Oh, Mother, Mother, don't be putting your hands to your ears now. You hear them too, clear as a lark singing in the heavens.
It isn't wisdom, Jamie, for a hard-working lad as is the pride of the village to be thinking of such as them, or to be lending his 2 years to listen to the likes of them.
And yet, Mother, it's them that knows about all the good things of the world. The feasting and the fighting, the making of love and the playing of beautiful music. It's them too that know the secret of the buried crocks of gold. Wealth and riches as'll make the few pence I pour into your lap look poor indeed. Mother, hand me me cap. I'm away to the castle to seek me rightful fortune.
What? Would you venture there, lad? You that's this poor widow's one son. Don't be so venturesome and foolish, Jamie. They'll kill you. And then what'll come of me?
Oh, never fear, mother, never fear. No harm will happen me. But I must go now.
Oh, listen to your mother, me darling, darling boy.
I am, I do, mother. But it's the music of them that's calling me. Jamie Freel, the greatest treasure of all your born days is waiting for you.
Listen.
Jamie Freel. That's what they're saying. Can't you hear it, Mother? It's in the air as sure as the stars are in the sky.
Jamie, boy, don't. Oh, Jamie. Jamie!
Ah, welcome, welcome, Jamie Freel.
It's the music of you I've been hearing, floating through the air like the green moonlight of a May night.
Like as not it was.
Tell me quick now, what do they call the likes of you? An elf? Or a leprechaun, maybe? A will-o'-the-wisp, perhaps? A pixie? Pan, are you, perhaps? You play the pipe.
Lad, we're of a generous and given nature. Call us what you like. It's your belief in us which is important, and never the name you call us.
How many of you little people are there now? One, two...
No, lad, don't count us now. If you go about one, two, three in us like so, you're likely to bewitch us. Tort us up like so many figures and we'd be changed into mortals. That'd be a sad, sad day indeed.
Well, I bid the top of the evening to all you little people, and it's happy I am to be laying eyes on you too. Well, are you not going to answer me?
Sure, it's common knowledge, lad, that the little people have not power of speech.
Oh.
Back in the days when gifts were being handed out, so much speech was given to mortal women that when it came to the little people, there was not enough left to go round. Ah, but they'd smile on you and cry tears for you and dance for you. I dance for you. But when there's speaking to be done, there's the likes of me who's a talking one.
Well, you called me this night. What is it you wish now?
Oh, we called you, did we? Did we now?
As sure as if you shouted me name from the crest of Bottle Hill.
Well, 'tis said that what a mortal hears depends a great deal on what he listens for. Ah, but here you be, Jamie Freel, and you may as well spend the moonlit evening lending us your strong right arm for our revel.
I'm with you. Jamie Freel's got a soul filled with adventure this night.
Ah, good, Jamie, good. Listen now. We're going to ride to a distant spot. To steal a young lady.
Oh.
A maiden with the burning beauty of a Grecian goddess in her, and whose two eyes are like starlight shining through raindrops. Will you ride with us, Jimmy Freel?
Aye, that I will.
We'll ride in a troop of horses as is the sons and daughters of the winged white horse of Kilkenny. Strap yourself well in the stirrups, boy, for this night we ride fast and far.
What place is this we're stopping at, little man?
Oh, questions. Jamie Freel, can you not speak in a simple declarative sentence now?
Well, it's so dark. Black and dour as the bottom of a bog hole.
Ah, there'll be some shy, accommodating moonbeams to shine on what we're waiting to see. Touch your hand to the door now, and tread softly, lad. Before you can say Bridget O'Halloran, you'll be seeing the face of the prize of this night.
Door? Oh, here it is. Oh. Such a face as a man dreams of belongs to the angels of heaven. As white as the snow that touches the top of the mountains. Her dewy lips puckered into a sad, dreamy smile. Oh, she's too beautiful to be real. Oh, to kiss the round red mouth of her. And to find out...
Hold on now, Jamie Freel. We didn't bring you along to fall in love with Miss Sleeping Beauty. It's our prize, she is.
Oh, for the love of all the saints, tell me. Tell me, is she mortal? Does she exist? Or is she some tormenting dream in the moonbeams?
Ah, she's mortal right enough. And as beautiful a mortal as we could find.
What place is this, then? Oh, if you take me away from here itself, I'll come back to find her, though she's across every sea of the seven of them. Well, don't stand there, little man, giving me no heed. Is she an Indian maiden? Is this the North Pole or south of the China Seas? Is this an island we're on, or the great continent of New York? How far did we travel this night?
Ah, if you knew all the answer to those questions, lad, you'd no longer have an inquiring soul. And a man without an inquiring soul might as well be dead in 6 feet under.
Oh, come on, man, come on, tell me. How far did we travel this night? 100 miles, 1,000, 1,000,000?
Well, once, when I was souring up a pail of milk, as was one of me duties in me younger days, I heard an old wife say that the little people could girdle the globe in a wink of an eye. Well, wink your eye, Jamie Freel, and let's try it, huh?
And leave this maid with the glory of every morning sunrise on the face of her?
Leave her? Certainly not. She's the prize of the evening, and we're taking her with us.
Are we near home, little man?
Near enough, lad. Whoosh! There goes Dublin. And whoosh! There's the Boyne River in the valley below. Rathmullen it is now. And Killybegs. And Tanny.
It's close to home we are right now. Little man?
Yes, Jamie, lad?
You've all had your turn at carrying the young lady. Would you do me the favor of letting me hold her for a bit?
Aye, Jamie, you may take your turn at carrying her, to be sure, to be sure. Here, hold tightly, lad.
Oh, girling, girling, when you open your eyes, it's the face of Jamie Free you'll be seeing. There's me mother's house below now. Goodbye to you now, little people. Goodbye!
Come back, Jamie Freel. Is that the way you treat us? Come back!
Mother, mother, quick, wake up now.
Jamie, where have you been all this night? It's worried to death I've been about you. Oh, what's that you're carrying in your 2 arms? Oh,
mother, mother, there's no time for questions or answers now. Hurry up and get me a handful of rice and barley to throw to the night wind.
The little people are after chasing you.
Right on me heels they are.
I'll throw the rice and barley. Quick now, lad. You sprinkle sand on the doorstep. That'll make them keep their respectful distance.
The rice, mother, the rice. And the barley, too.
There now. There.
Jamie Freel, you have our lovely prize away from us, but you'll have no good of her, for we'll strike her deaf and dumb.
What?
What's that he's saying?
Deaf and dumb!
Deaf and dumb.
Ready for Act Two of Barry Fitzgerald's favorite story, an old Irish folktale called Jamie Freel. Sean McGlory stars as Jamie, with Arthur Q. Bryan as the chieftain of the little people. The colleen with the glory of every morning sunrise on the face of her has been struck deaf and dumb by the little people. In Jamie's cottage, she sits in a chair by the fireplace, her eyes still closed. Jamie, with a heart full of love, looks at her and waits for her eyes to open.
Poor crater. She is a handsome one. No wonder they set their hearts on the little ones.
I had to bring her here, Mother. I had to. Surely you wouldn't have allowed me to let her go with them to be lost forever.
But she appears to be a fine lady, Jamie. How can a lady eat our poor diet and live in our poor way?
I'll work for her, Mother. I'll work for you both. Mother, Mother, her eyes, the young lady's eyes, they're opening.
Oh.
Hello, girling. Tis me, Jamie Freel. And this here is me mother, Maura Freel.
Oh, don't be trembling now.
Mother, Mother, she's trying to speak and cannot. Oh, girling, listen to me. The little people try to steal you, seeing as you're the most beautiful creature that ever is or was. Oh, Mother, Mother, she can't speak or listen like the little people said.
Oh, wish you, wish you, poor sweet child. I'll get you me wool shawl. Do not be frightened now.
Oh, girling, girling, I know not what corner of this wide world you're from, but I do know this. Each of your two eyes is like the whole blue vault of heaven. Ah, no, no, don't cloud them with tears now. Jamie Freel's here, and his right arm and his loving heart will do their best to protect you. Yes, 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 don't tear the door down. I'm coming.
There he is. Jamie Freel, this delegation from the village is here to see you and have words with you.
Well, here I am, then, to be seen. But that's no call to be pounding on me door so hard that the devil himself will rise up to be counted.
Where is she?
Where's who?
The foreign girl that's bewitching the whole countryside.
Take a bit to your tongue now, Barry O'Rourke. I'll not have you saying an evil word against a sweet young thing who can't even speak to defend herself.
The crops are failing. Every farm and man for 20 miles around will tell you so. The fishermen come back with empty nets. There's a fine fat course in this village. And the alien girl you've got at your chimney corner, is it?
Crops have failed before, and it's many a time and it comes up empty without blaming a poor girl for it.
Poor girl, is she? She's a witch. We wouldn't mind so much if she was an Irish witch. But we'll have no heathen foreign witches in this village. Believe me, we won't, Jerry Freel.
Get out of me house, all of you. Get out before I take an iron poker and smash in all your narrow little heads. Go on.
Just control, Jerry Freel. Listen now. Send this girl away from our village, or we'll burn your house down around you.
Mother. Mother, I'll be bidding you goodbye now.
Jamie, boy, don't you go.
Sure, I must, Mother, I must. I'll not have your own house burned down around you.
Where will you be traveling? When will you be coming home?
The girl and I, we're going to travel over the whole of this island of ours. She can't hear me or speak to me, and if she could itself, it's not our tongue she'd be speaking or understanding. But I'm going to show her Ireland, Mother. I'm going to show her the rich golden valleys and the bright waters so that she too can become one of us. And then when we come back, maybe our neighbors will treat her more kindly.
Oh, let me kiss you, Jamie boy. Godspeed. The saints watch over you and send you back to me soon, Alana.
Up the hill with you, Colleen. Up, run, and let the lovely raven hair of your head stream behind you in the fingers of the wind. You're laughing, girlie. Oh, they can keep you from talking, yes, but they've found no way to keep happiness from you. You're laughing, and I have a happy and a warm feeling in my heart, too, like the sunshine on a spring morning. There now, there, the top of the hill. Look, girlie, look. Oh, but there. There, sure you must be thirsty in the sun high in the noonday heavens. Here you are, Colleen. A drink of water from the wishing well of Glengorham. Sip it easy now, and the wishes that are hidden in your heart will come true. I'll hold your hand, girling, so you don't drink too rapid-like. For the water of this well, even when the sun shines on its stones, is so clear and cold, it'll shake the very teeth in your head. Listen how deep it is. Oh, wishing well, wishing well, I want one thing only. This girl here, and the everlasting laughter and the love of her. Geraldine, Geraldine, there's so much I want to show you. The places Finn McCoo, the great giant, walked in the days when there were giants in this land. The places the two great lovers of old, Jermuth and Grainne, went. And where they slept one night in a bed of heather on the slope of a hill in Connaught. I want to show you Connemara and the castle of the Pirate Queen. Oh, Chailleen, Chailleen, have you seen enough of this land to know that you can never be a foreigner here so long as your own true love is with you? Oh, when you smile up at me that way, I know there's a greater bridge than ever was made with words and hearing. Come, Geraldine. I'm going back to the little people and ask them in the name of this love I have for you to take the enchantment off you. Stop your melody, little man. I've come to have a reckoning with you.
Oh, so it's you, Jamie Freel. Little people all, come have a look who's come a-visiting us.
I'll have none of your looking now or tricking.
Oh, he's getting real uppity like this Jamie Freel. And him has played such a poor trick and stole the nice young lady from us. Where is she now, Jamie?
I left her at me mother's house. Why did you have to strike her deaf and dumb? And I haven't so many loving things to say to her. And all of them passing by her ears like the silent breezes of the nights.
Let's say perhaps there was a plan in it now.
A plan? Ah, oh, speak plain now, little man. I've lost me patience with you long ago.
Oh, you mustn't do that. Once you lose a patience, it's very hard indeed to purchase another. Patience comes high these days, and very few village shops there are that keep a supply on their shelves.
But why did you do it now? This lovely child and her not able to say even what distant land she comes from.
Jamie, lad, say as how a crock of gold was lying around for anyone to pick up walking down a street, instead of being way at the end of the rainbow. A difficult place indeed to find, let me tell you now. What would be the value then of a crock of gold? A body'd prize it as much as sneezing into the wind.
What's all this talk to do with me and the girl?
Love's like a crock of gold, lad. Only worth considerable more.
Don't you think now I'm after knowing that for many a long, long day, little man.
Little people all, I'm thinking our lad here has reached the end of his rainbow. Perhaps we should tell him where to be digging.
Don't be speaking to me in riddles now, thwarting and tormenting me.
I'll speak right out, Jamie Freel. Go you now to the sacred river Boyne, and take you by the light of the full moon 3 drops of water. Place 1 drop on each ear, and 1 drop on the red, red lips of your own true love. And the spell will be broken.
1 drop on each ear, and 1 drop on the red, red lips of her. Oh, little man, I'm thanking you from the bottom of me joyful heart. And I'm thinking that you planned it this way all along.
That we did, Jamie Freel, that we did. Ever since you were a wee lad. But we're after appreciating your complete belief in the likes of us. Where would we be now without it?
Mother, quick now, where's the maid?
Jamie, you're killed surely this time, me poor boy.
No, indeed, better luck than ever this time.
What's that you're carrying in the glass, lad?
3 drops of moonless water, Mother. Enchantment-breaking water from the Boyne River.
Here's your Colleen, Jamie, the face of her buried in her arms, crying her poor heart out.
Girlie, let me look into your face. Oh, dry those tears from your blue eyes. Drive the magic liquid that'll make you speak and make you be able to be hearing all the grand words I have trembling on me lips for you. God and all the saints willing, someday you'll learn to understand the tongue we speak. Hold the glass, Mother. Hold it close here by the lovely face of her.
Jamie, lad.
1 drop on your right ear, 1 drop on your left ear, and 1 drop on the red, red lips of me own true love. Can you talk now, Geraldine? Can you? What are the words you're going to speak to your Jamie? What are the first words that are going to fall from your lips? Oh, whatever language you speak, girling, speak it from your heart. Then I'll go to all the scholars of the land to get the translation of it.
Our lips are open, Jamie.
Say it, girling. Say it.
Sure, and I love you, Jamie Freel.
Saints preserve.
Where did you get a brogue like that, girlie? Oh, you've been watching the movement of me lips all these months now, and you mastered the way to speak it.
Oh, no, Jamie Freel. The distant land I'm from is Donegal, right here in the green hills of Ireland.
You've been listening to Jamie Freel, the favorite story of the world-famous actor Mr. Barry Fitzgerald. Do you doubt the existence of the little people? Well, after this program is over, go outside and listen. Do you think that's the wind whistling? Well, it may be, but if you listen hard enough, sure you may hear the music of the little people. At any rate, it's been a pleasure to bring you this Irish tale on our radio half-hour. Our congratulations to the Abbey Theatre's Sean McGlory for his portrayal of Jamie, to all the members of our cast and orchestra, and to Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee who dramatized this delightful legend. Next week we have something which is quite off the beaten track, an adventure by Herman Melville, the author of the great American novel Moby Dick. It's called The Strange Mr. Bartleby, and it promises to mystify, intrigue, and startle you. It was selected as the favorite story of the Universal International star and director, Robert Montgomery. When we bring you Bob Montgomery's favorite story, The Strange Mr. Bartleby, we hope you'll be listening.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Herbert Marshall in tonight's presentation of
Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents the nightmare world of a coward as we bring you Graham Greene's study in fear, The Man Within. Our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Hi, Hap, what's new?
Why, the whole set, Harlow.
Then you're set, Hap, if you mean a brace of brand new ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs. The spark plugs that are world famous for quality and performance.
I got them, Harlow.
Then you've got the best performers money can buy, Hap. Autolite spark plugs, both standard and resistor types, are available from thousands of dealers from coast to coast and used by millions of motorists everywhere.
Yep. You see, my car wasn't operating just right.
So your Autolite spark plug dealer checked and recommended a set of ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, eh, Hap?
Yes, sir, Harlow, and I'm sure glad he did.
And you'll be glad, too, friends. See your neighborhood Autolite spark plug dealer soon. To locate him quickly, phone Western Union by number and ask for Operator 25. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents The Man Within, starring Mr. Herbert Marshall, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
After a while, after I lay there in the long grass, after the end to running for a while from death, night came, and with it, the fear. And later I said to myself, "Who are you?" And I answered, "You are a hunted man, and you are going to die. Carline will find you, and he will kill you." Then I got up and I ran some more. Then there was a house. There was a wall around it of stone and separating the house from the woods. And there was a flame of candle on the ledge of one of the windows, and I thought I saw inside a room a shadow move, then stay dark and motionless. It was a house, and I was tired. It was a shelter, and I was afraid. And outside here, somewhere, was Carl Lyon.
Get away. I'll kill you.
Please.
I wouldn't be afraid to do it. I've learned to use this gun.
I want a hiding place. I'm being followed.
You can't stop here. You'd better go the way you came.
But I can't. They'd get me. Look here, I'm on the side of the law. It's not the officers who are after me. Oh, don't you see?
Keep back. You can't stay here. Now turn around and go out.
When I get you, I'll teach you charity.
I told you to...
I'll teach you. Now I have it, miss, you see?
It isn't loaded.
No.
Yes?
But I wasn't going to kill you. I pointed it at the sky. You saw that.
Yes. You're very frightened, aren't you?
I don't want to die. Out there, a man named Carl Lyon. Oh, it's too much. It's too much.
He's my father, dead in his coffin. He died this morning.
I've never seen a dead man before, like this, face to face.
Tomorrow morning the people will come, the villagers, and I will bury him. My father must be terribly alone now.
And I am.
You can stay if you like. There's no one I'll tell.
It's just that I need to hide.
There's a shed, that door there, and you can hide. Now listen to me. You are my brother, do you see? Tomorrow at the funeral, everyone will come here and they will see you. And you will tell them that you are my brother.
All right. What should I call you? Your name?
Elizabeth.
I am Andrews.
And tomorrow when they ask, you heard of our father's illness. And you came back this morning after years in the city and watched him die. I don't know why.
What?
I don't know why I've helped you as much as I have.
Afraid of me, that's why.
It was not fear. It'd be a fool who'd be afraid of you. I suppose I was tired of being alone.
Then she led me to a shed where I was to sleep. And then she went away from me to some upstairs room of the cottage. And in an instant, I slept.
Oh, he was a kindly man.
And my awakening, a swiftly running current of voices. The villagers gathered to the funeral. An undertaker's man shutting the coffin lid casually as a man shuts a book. Then the nailing of it, with no air of finality. Then village men to carry it from the cottage, place it in a farm cart. And with dark Elizabeth beside me, Elizabeth, who was now a sister to me, walk into a wall of white mist that melted before me, closed behind me, and our footsteps sounding no louder than the drip of misty rain that fell from trees and bushes along our road, then reach the burying place, stand beside the dark Elizabeth in the misty graveyard, and be aware that yet, somewhere outside my mind, but ready to leap within the fear, the tempest of fear, the fear of Carl Lyon.
O holy and merciful Savior, thou most worthy Judge eternal, suffer us not at our last hour for any pains of death to fall from thee.
The mist opened a little, and I could see the fields. There was no Carl Lyon, and I stood alone, wanting to turn and run and put a wall of mist between me and that gathering of strangers. Loneliness and fear were like the emptiness of hunger. Only 6 steps away, and I would be lost to all the world in a blanket of white wool. But then, I would be lonely again.
Take me away from here. Take me home, brother.
Food. Have you any food? I haven't had any for 15 hours.
There's tea and bread in the cupboard. I'll get it.
That's good of you.
There's no reason why I should shut you out. I've been alone. You're better than no one, even you. Tea, bread, butter. Eat, Andrews.
The reason I came back with you...
Fear.
...and something else. I'll tell you, and you can laugh at me. I was homesick for here. I'm not making love to you. It wasn't you. It was just the place. I slept here, and I hadn't slept before for 3 days. Elizabeth.
I was wondering...
What?
...why I like you. Of whom are you frightened?
Elizabeth.
Of whom are you frightened?
Of death. And it is a man I know. A man named Carlyon.
Of another man you are frightened?
Carlyon, a man with a voice as near to music as any voice I've ever heard. Except for yours. A man who... What's that?
You're imagining things.
Can't you whisper?
Let go of me.
Do you want to tell the whole world I'm here? There. Didn't you hear that?
Into the shed, quick. The place where you slept.
There's no door, you fool.
Well, there are shadows and darkness. Find one to hide in, you and your fear. Well?
Forgive me. I'm completely lost in this park.
Why didn't you knock?
One can't be too careful around here. You're not alone?
I'm alone. My brother's just gone out. He's not far. I can easily call to him if you don't go.
You mustn't be afraid of me. Perhaps I know your brother. Is he a little over the middle height? Slightly built, dark, with frightened, obstinate eyes?
That's not my brother. He's short and squat and very strong.
Then I'm not looking for your brother. He must have been here very lately. Tea is hot. And he left in a hurry with his tea unfinished. Curious if we didn't meet.
That's my cup you have. Will you allow me to finish it?
I'm sorry I didn't meet your brother.
There's another door. That's the shed, and there are only tools and withered plants. The man you described, the frightened, obstinate man...
He's here?
He slept here last night.
And now?
He went with the morning. North, I think. I don't know.
He may return here, then.
I don't think so. The frightened man who was here...
A sort of Judas...
He was afraid of you.
He's an informer. And because of him, 6 men are in jail on a charge of murder. There was a fight, and a customs guard was shot for a devil. This man, Andrews.
Yes?
He spoiled everything. 3 of us escaped. Harry Frawley, who is with me, and Andrews, the informer. He's made of us jailbirds and fugitives and murderers. The man killed because of smuggled casks of brandy. What a dull, dirty game he's made it all appear.
And if you find him?
I should talk with him. Make sure I was right. And then?
What?
I should kill him. He was laughing at me the whole time we were friends. I told him all the things I liked, shared what I loved with him. I can only make him forget what I told him by killing him. You say he went north?
Yes.
If he comes back, do not shelter him or warn him. Stay with peace. Stay alive.
Andrews, he's gone.
This knife. I would have killed him. And you, if you were told...
Oh, coward, coward, coward. What he said, is it true?
Yes.
Coward and informer.
You heard him. He would kill me.
You informed. And whatever your reason, you were driven to the side of the law. Well, stay there. Go into the open. Bear witness against the men they've caught.
Carlyle will kill me. Do you understand, do you?
The touch of a coward is cold.
I want to stay. I want to live.
A coward's hand on my cheek, and it is cold.
Elizabeth.
Let go of me. The fog is gone. The sky is quite clear, and I can see 6 stars.
Because I want you to love me.
And you will go to town and bear witness, testify at the trial.
Tomorrow.
A long walk to the town. You must sleep. Where you slept last night. Good night, Andrews.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Herbert Marshall in Graham Greene's The Man Within, tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Say, Hap, what type of ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs did you get?
Why, the resistor type, Harlow. To hear you tell it, the resistor is the greatest advance in spark plugs for automotive use in the past 20 years.
My words exactly, Hap. That built-in Autolite resistor makes possible such outstanding advantages as double spark plug life, smoother engine performance, and quick starts.
That's why I had them put in, Harlow. And it turns out you're right, and they're super right.
And the Autolite resistor spark plug is only one of a complete line of world-famous Autolite spark plugs, ignition-engineered for every use. So, friends, visit your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer for a spark plug checkup soon. To quickly locate him, just phone Western Union by number and ask for Operator 25. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage a production of The Man Within, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
And bring up more whiskey for the lad.
No, I'd rather have food.
Whiskey for the appetite. Now, Mr. Andrews, I must tell you, you're a very brave man.
No, I'm not. A coward. She said so.
Oh, who said such a ridiculous thing?
Nobody. It doesn't matter.
It's in the viewpoint. To me, you are brave to come here to my rooms as you did.
Because she told me to come. It seems...
Yes?
It seems that it is necessary I change somehow so that you can love me. To be a man.
I see. I'll do my best for you. I've taken a room for you here at the inn.
But I won't go back to her. You understand that?
If she will love you now, then why?
The fear. Carlisle is not caught. He will find me. After tomorrow, I must get away.
You will have the whole of England to drop into. But I must tell you this.
What?
Forget smuggling when this is over. Act honestly in the future.
Don't prate to me. Don't talk to me of honesty. You're not risking your life at this trial as I am.
And don't you be impertinent. You're doing this to save your own skin, else you'd stand trial tomorrow like the rest. Drink your whiskey. Go to bed.
My name is Francis Andrews.
Very informal.
Order! Order in the court.
Where were you on the night of February 10th?
On board the ship, Good Chance.
What were you doing there?
I was engaged in smuggling. We better run a cargo that night, so as not to pay the duty.
Tell the court what happened that night.
I helped load the dinghy with the casks of brandy. Then I got in with them and helped row ashore. When they began to unload the cargo, I slipped away. There was no moon. It was very dark, and they did not see me. They didn't see me go. I got away among the dunes and hid. Then I ran again.
To where?
To a house on the moors that I found there. To a girl who was in it. Elizabeth.
Tell us about the letter, Mr. Andrews.
2 days before, I had sent an anonymous letter to the officer in charge, stating the time and the exact place and who...
Head judge of this court. Order. Order.
Another question, Mr. Andrews. How long have you been in your profession?
3 years.
And you hated what you were doing?
Yes.
Why didn't you leave then?
I had nowhere to go, and no money.
Did it ever occur to you to work honestly?
No.
Why did you first join?
Friendship for a man. A man whom you're not caught. Carl Iron.
The man friend of these others in the dark who you betrayed.
Yes.
Then what were your motives for laying information with the revenue?
The men hated me, all of them. Except Carl Iron.
Go on.
And I was afraid of being hurt, and I hated the sea and the noise and the danger. And I wanted to show these men that I was someone to be considered, that I had the power to smash all their plans.
And your friend Carl Iron, did you do nothing to warn him?
It was a case of him or me.
That is all, Mr. Andrews.
Will the defense cross-examine? No? You may step down, Mr. Andrews.
You may continue, Sir Henry.
I call the prisoner Jason Collier.
So he was called, Jason Collier, and sworn in. He refused to talk, as did the two who came after him. Instead, they looked at me, and each in his turn smiled. I could not understand why. And the courtroom became very hot, the faces blobs, and time became drone of voices, and but accused and denied, accused again, ebbed. They were found guilty, then through streets filled with jeering, an officer to escort me, through succession of back doors and dirty lanes, through stables, then the white heart and the room I had in it. Light its darkness with candle, and in the floating wisps of its rays, an image. In mirror, an image. Informer. Brave, courageous informer. And the mirror shadow, coward. Still coward. Fear-ridden man, fear-sick man. Because Carlyon was free. Carlyon alive. In Carlyon's hands, still my death. Coward! And no love from Elizabeth for a coward. Room. Candle dancing with fear. Shadow drifting with fear.
Andrews. So there you are.
Harry Frawley.
Knife says stay where you are unless you want to squeak to a new tune.
There are offices in this hotel. What do you want, Harry?
Why do you want to quarrel? I'm here to do you a service straight, I am.
You're out.
You ain't very grateful. Don't you want to hear my news?
What news?
You shouldn't have squealed. Not on the others. It was like your mother, you might say, when we was to sea and sea storms and things made you whimper like a puling baby. You were a squeaker, you were.
You said you had news.
Of Carlyon.
I've finished with him.
Ah. But he ain't finished with you.
Look.
Don't interrupt, Squeaker. Now I've got the roll of it. It's like this. Carlyon ain't finished with you. Nor with your ladybird.
What do you mean?
Your ladybird. The one of the cottage in the mists. Her. Do you call her?
Elizabeth.
Ah. Elizabeth. Pity. To shelter a squeaker and then to die. Pity.
Carlyon wouldn't do anything to her. I know he wouldn't.
You'll be off to give it to her tomorrow or the next day.
You're lying. It's a trap to get me to go back to her, so Carlyon will catch me. But I won't. I won't go back, I tell you.
Carlyon would as soon kill you as look at her. But he says killing's too good for you. He says you ought to have some fun with you first. He says, Elizabeth.
Tell him I'll not go back. Tell him it's no use laying that trap for me.
Good. I've brought you Carlyon's news, and we're quits.
Ta-ta, Squeaker.
And silence now, and again alone. And the coward's image to reach from mirror, offer its embrace. It's only a whisper, only a trap. Why such a trap for a coward who's only repelled by danger? Carlyon would not kill a woman. Carlyon. Snuff a candle and its images. Leave the hotel. Walk with no fear of death, but a terror of life. Without escape, without will, walk. And reach the downs as a first orange glow lifted above the eastern horizon. Then run to stifle thought. Run fast until there's no more breath. Only the flinging down again upon salt tufts of grass and cool. And silver sky touched now with green. Up and run again. Then the house and the wall around it and an opening door and Elizabeth.
Is it you at last?
I've come back.
Oh, yes, I can see that. I get you tea.
From that cup. That was the cup we both drank from.
Not that one. I remember the one. It had a chip out of the rim. This one. Come. Bread, tea, here. Oh, tell me, what are you doing here?
Has anything happened since I've been away?
No, nothing ever happens here.
The door was unbolted. Do you think that's safe?
It was unbolted when you first came. I didn't want a less warm welcome for you when you came back.
You knew I would come back.
We are friends.
You laugh at me. You despise me. You know that I'm a coward. I betrayed you.
How have you betrayed me?
It came out in court that you sheltered me.
In court? Were you there?
I betrayed you. I told them you sheltered me. And now Carl Lyon means to punish you for it. He'll be here today or tomorrow.
You're with me, and I have no fear.
He will kill you and me.
No.
Fool, go from here. Go away.
I love you, and I will stay here in this house where you came to me. Do you hear? I love you.
Elizabeth.
Oh, why were you so long?
I was afraid.
Am I worse than death? You're not afraid of that.
I don't fear it any longer. You are filling me with yourself. That means courage, peace, holiness.
Oh, love me. So long alone. Oh, love me. Andrews.
Yes, what? What is it? Have you seen something?
Oh, nothing. Only I remembered. We shall need water before tonight. We must go with a pail now before it's dangerous. To the well. The pail's in the corner there.
What a time to remember. My knife, take it.
Half minute's walk, no more. The path behind the trees. Half a minute and no more.
The knife, take it.
Yes.
Now kiss me.
A farewell for a half minute's absence. I kiss you when I come back. Go now, now.
She's dead, Andrews. She meant the knife for me. She came for me and she stumbled, fell to the floor, and the knife pierced her. I'm sorry. Intensely, deeply sorry. She was fine. Finer than you or I.
She knew you were here. And she sent me away.
I wanted you, Andrews. Not her. Not the death of that lovely girl. You. Not her.
With my knife.
You will kill me, Andrews. You, the coward. You who brought death to what you loved?
Because of her. Of Elizabeth. No more, Carlyle. There is peace now. And a kind of happiness. Carl Lyon is dead. Carl Lyon is dead of the wounding of my knife. The knife that had tasted of Elizabeth. Carl Lyon dead. And I killed him. And I am free. And the coward who whimpered in the darknesses of fear is a man who waits for the coming of the police. Who waits in a cottage where fear is dead and where love lies dead.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Herbert Marshall. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. They are members of the Autolite family, as well as are the 98,000 Autolite distributors and dealers in the United States and thousands more in Canada and throughout the world. Our family also includes the nearly 30,000 men and women in 28 great Autolite plants from coast to coast and Autolite plants in many foreign countries, as well as the 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite. Every Autolite product is backed by constant research and precision built to the highest standards of quality and performance. So remember, from bumper to tail light, You're always right with Autolite.
Next week, we proudly present the first radio dramatization of William Shakespeare's tragic history of love and death, Othello. Our stars, Kathy Lewis, Richard Widmark, and Elliot Lewis. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Graham Greene's The Man Within was adapted for Suspense by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. In tonight's story, Betty Harford was heard as Elizabeth. Featured in the cast were Ben Wright, Joseph Kearns, Raymond Lawrence, Richard Peel, and Bill Bissell.
You can buy Autolite resistor or standard type spark plugs, Autolite electrical parts, and Autolite safe-full batteries at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. You can find more from Suspense, Favorite Story, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, and thousands of other old-time radio episodes, all available for free at RelicRadio.com. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, help keep it coming every week, visit donate.RelicRadio.com or click on the donate link while you're on the website. Your support makes it all possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.